Fourth Band of the Hour, Universe Turquoise Hands with Sex in Wartime. Once again, there are some technical difficulties at CJSF, so things will take longer than usual. Now, here is Universe Turquoise Hands with Sex in Wartime. That was Sex in Wartime from Universe Turquoise Hands. The fifth group of the hour is Cassie Balaza's Cassie Balaza Knows Nothing. Just a minute, please. Now here is Cassie Balaza's Cassie Balaza Knows Nothing, Long Way Home.
I was praying the day that I was a wolf, and I was a long, long way from home. Whose roots wouldn't grow, so I drag my feet heavy across your floor. I'll ride you down, stomping the earth. My hope in the day that I dig a hole with hands on your knees. You watch me work. Down in the ground, it's empty and cold. I'm burying secrets I haven't told. I'll ride you down. Break.
I'd like to shift gears to the Northwest League, where the Vancouver Canadiens play at this time. It is a high A league, three levels below Major League Baseball. Three games were on tap for April 6. The host Hillsboro Hawks edged the Everett Aqua Sox 8-7 in 14 innings at Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsboro, Oregon. The visitors, Vancouver Canadiens, were tripled up by the Spokane Indians 3-1 at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. And the host Eugene Emeralds exercise the Tri-City Dust Devils 7-1 at PK Park in Eugene, Oregon. On April 7th, Hillsboro walked off on Everett 4-3 in 9 innings. Spokane bested Vancouver 7-6, and Tri-City shaded Eugene 4-3. There were three venue changes on April 9th. Spokane blanked the hosts Tri-City 4-0 at Gisa Stadium in Pasco, Washington. Vancouver edged the visitors Hillsboro 5-4 in Rogers Field and at Bailey in Vancouver, British Columbia. And Eugene doubled up the host Everett 6-3 at Funko Field in Everett, Washington. On April 10th, Spokane shaded Tri-City 5-4 in 11 innings. Vancouver blanked Hillsboro 2-0, and Eugene grounded Everett 7-2. On April 11th, Eugene defeated Everett 7-4, Spokane shaded Tri-City 4-3, and Hillsboro at Vancouver was postponed due to wet grounds. Four games are on tap today, including a doubleheader. The first game between Hillsboro and Vancouver just went seven innings, where the Canadiens blanked the Hawks 2-0. The second game between the two will occur. Apparently, it wasn't warm up. The last time I checked, I just refreshed the MLB website. It is still warm up for game two between Hillsboro and Vancouver in Rogers Field at Nat Bailey. Elsewhere, Spokane continues in Pasco against Tri-City at 6:35. And Eugene resumes in Everett at 7:05. All times are Pacific. Just a minute, please. I'd like to play a PSA. Just a minute, please.
Embark Sustainability Sustainable Independent Student Center nonprofit working across SFU campus. Focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at embarksustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at embarksustain.
Here are the current Northwest League standings, which is obviously in the first half. Spokane, an affiliate of the Colorado Rockies, are first at 6-0. Eugene, an affiliate of the San Francisco Giants, are second at 5-1. The Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays, are third at 3-3. Hillsboro, an affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks, are fourth at 2-4. Everett, an affiliate of the Seattle Mariners, are a fifth at 1-5, along with Tri-City, an affiliate of the Los Angeles Angels.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It has been a very polarizing issue for Surrey, the second largest and fastest growing city, for over the last 6 years. The then Mayor Doug McCallum pursued a Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15th, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke hasn't given up her fight to keep the Surrey RCMP. On October 13th, Surrey filed a petition to the BC Supreme Court for a judicial review of the BC government's decision. The BC government responded on October 16th as Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, tabled a legislation in the BC Legislature in Victoria, which are amendments to the BC Police Act, i.e. Bill C-36-2023, Police Amendment Act 2023, where a key change is, municipalities need to complete police transition plans approved by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, which directly targets Surrey. On October 25th, the BC Police Amendment Act passed a third reading with 56 voting for and 27 against. One day later, BC's Police Amendment Act became law after it received royal assent as BC's Lieutenant Governor Janet Austin approved the law on October 26th. On November 16th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, appointed Mike Sir, the former Abbotsford Police Chief who retired last fall, as the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, suspended all 8 members of the Surrey Police Board, and removed Brenda Locke, the Surrey Mayor, as the SPB Chair. Surrey launched a second petition on November 20th, this time challenging if the BC Police Amendment Act 2023 is constitutional. 10 days later, on November 30th, Mike Sir, the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, in the first meeting as the SPB administrator, said he approved a provisional budget for the Surrey Police Service in 2024, which he forwarded to the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke and Council the same day. On December 11th, Jas Johal, a show host for CKNW, tweeted a picture of a Patterson billboard between 60th Avenue and 176th Street, blasting the Surrey Police Service with the slogan, "NDP Police Transition will cost you more," with the last 4 words in capital letters. On the middle were 3 claims: A, $466 million over the next 10 years; B, massive double-digit tax increase, and C, less for schools, health, and transit. At the bottom of the sign, it says find more at ndpsurreytax.ca and paid for by the City of Surrey, which explicitly states the Mayor Locke and her council, led by her Surrey Connect, are using the Surrey taxpayers' money for their crusade to keep the Surrey RCMP, despite talks across Canada to get the RCMP out of contract policing. On December 12th, Janet Brown of Global News reported that Surrey is spending around $500,000 for its educational campaign against the Surrey Police Service, according to the Surrey Mayor, Brenda Locke, who added the campaign pales in comparison to transitioning from the Surrey RCMP to SPS. On January 11th, the Surrey Police Union revealed that the Surrey City rejected paying 10 recruits, which drew a sharp rebuke from the BC Premier David Eby, as the city cited the SPS went over budget, according to his lawyer Peter German, which has forced the Surrey Police Union to pay them, also drew condemnation from Safe Surrey Coalition councillors Doug Elford, Mandy Negra, along with Linda Annis from Surrey First, according to Bo Simpson of Surrey Now Leader. Surrey and SPB traded barbs on January 16th, as the Mayor Locke publicized on the city website that the SPS went over budget, as it spent $75.4 million in 2023, a budget overrun of $26.7 million, including 100 officers not on the front line, justified the city's refusal to pay 10 officers in December, as civic budgets cannot run deficits, and trashed the BC NDP government for imposing the expensive Surrey Police Service to the residents. The Surrey Police Board countered on the same day, on January 16, 2024, as the SPB Administrator Mike Sir claimed the following. Surrey Police Service make 30% of officers deployed to keep Surrey safe. The SPB, with Locke as its chair, submitted the SPS 2023 original budget of $157.6 million to Surrey City, but the city slashed the SPS budget by 70% to $48.8 million, as Surrey planned to kill the SPS and keep the Surrey RCMP. After Minister Farnworth's decision, the SPS and city officials agreed to a $75 million budget for the SPS in 2023, but Mayor Locke rejected the revised 2023 budget. The Surrey Police Union also chimed in against Locke's claims in their own press release, as the SPU president Rick Stewart wrote that Surrey's 2023 police budget assumed the following. The Surrey RCMP would remain the police jurisdiction, and the SPS would last until July 2023. But even after Minister Farnworth ordered Surrey to continue with the policing transition, Surrey City refused to adjust the budget. Furthermore, Stewart pointed out that Surrey's 2023 third quarter financial report had a policing surplus of $19 million, on top of $83 million for severance had the SPS resolved, being allocated for future expenses, which has ballooned Surrey's policing surplus to a total of $102 million, with a $330 million budget. On January 19th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, visited some Surrey Police Service officers when the Surrey Police Board had another meeting, while Kyle Friesen, the SPS in-house lawyer, claimed that a petition, which Surrey has filed too in the BC Supreme Court, does not stop the transition. Furthermore, Friesen added the review standard for a judicial review is not correct decision, but if it's a reasonable decision by the minister and the director of police services, which is Glenn Lewis, according to Tom Zitarek of the Surrey Now Leader on January 22nd. On January 25th, Mike Sir, the Surrey Police Board's administrator, released the SPS 2024 budget in a press conference, which was submitted to Surrey City on November 30, 2023, with the SPS having 215 officers deployed at the time. $141.5 million were requested, which is 42% of the policing funds available, at a total of $337 million for 180 officers, which would increase the total of SPS officers to 526, 67% of all Surrey police officers by the end of 2024, with Surrey's targeted number at 785. The SPS budget numbers were developed with Jessica McDonald, Strategic Implementation Advisor, and Deloitte, an independent accounting firm, assumed the Surrey RCMP will ramp down. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, during a press conference later on, said if Surrey doesn't agree, the Director of Police Services will make a decision based on submissions from the city and police. The Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke responded later on January 25th, as she claimed the suggestion that the transition would go forward without the residents being forced to pay more is disingenuous and exposes lack of knowledge and due diligence by the BC NDP government, according to her press release on the Surrey City website. On February 3rd, Bob Mackin reported a deep look at Surrey's fight against the SPS on multiple outlets, where Surrey's city manager Rob Costanzo signed with Kirk & Co., a Vancouver agency, on November 22nd, 2023, where Kirk & Co. was contracted to be paid a minimum of $100,000 in Surrey's $500K against the BC NDP and SPS. Between October 30th and December 15th, 2023, Surrey paid out $172,000, with just under $90,000 to Kirk & Co. and over $20,000 for Patterson Outdoor, among other things. Among the 19 people in Kirk & Co. is Mike McDonald, who is the ex-husband of Jessica McDonald as the Chief Strategic Officer, the first and the last Chief of Staff for the BC Liberal Premier, Christy Clark, between 2011 and 2017. Jessica McDonald, on the other hand, was hired by Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, on a two-year contract totaling $500,000. On March 6, in their meeting agenda, the SPB revealed the total expenditures of the SPS last year, which was tallied over $75.763 million, 0.4% above the projection, which the SPB posted 2 days later on March 8th on their Twitter page. On March 11th, Bruce Bamman of BC Conservatives, the Abbotsford South MLA, which has its own municipal police force, alleged the BC government offered Surrey another $110 million on top of $150 million for the SPS in the BC legislature. On April 4th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, introduced further amendments to the BC Police Act to municipal police management, where local governments with municipal police forces can choose one representative each. Members of each local police board can elect chair and vice chair. Currently, the mayor of each municipality with their own police force is a chair, except Surrey, as Farnworth removed Brenda Locke last November due to allegations of her obstructing the Surrey Police Service. Also, the police complaint commissioner can call public hearings during misconduct investigations to systemic reviews and lead investigations into police complaint causes, contributing factors as part of Bill 17. Many events have occurred this week. On April 9th, the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke proposed a budget of 7% property tax increase, which did not factor in the cost of the Surrey Police transition. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, told reporters in the BC legislature that Surrey actually approached the BC government in January, revealed the additional offer to be $100 million over 5 years, to a total of $250 million over the next decade, and a deadline at 4 p.m. However, Surrey rejected the offer shortly after 3 p.m., less than an hour to the deadline, according to a BC government press release, where Farnworth also responded that $150 million will be used to complete the transition and announced there will be a date for the change of command coming soon. Locke responded by saying The Surrey Council rejected the BC government's offer, citing the province failing to develop a plan and a transition end date. However, several Surrey City Councilors, Linda Annis of the Surrey First, along with Mandeep Nagra and Doug Elford, both with the Save Surrey Coalition, vocally opposed the city's decision. On April 10th, while the SPS Chief Norm Lipinski hailed Farnworth's announcement about the change in command, along with desire to hire more officers, where there are about 200 deployed with about 350 officers in total, 20 people, I believe, about 20 people are on leave, according to Lipinski. On multiple media outlets, Brian Sobey, the spokesperson for the National Police Federation, the RCMP Union, blasted Mike Farnworth for the change in command for Surrey, implying possible legal action in a press release. On April 11th, Trevor Dinwiddie, the Pacific Northwest director of the NPF, spoke to Joe Bennett on CKNW, said, While Surrey RCMP officers can patch over to the SPS, all members he talked to want to stay with the RCMP in response to Mike Farnworth's announcement on Surrey's change of command. Later on April 11th, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun, the MPF said its Surrey RCMP members can't work under the SPS command unless there is a federal legislative change. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, mentioned the province and federal government agreeing last month in principle, so the Surrey Police Transition Plan does not require federal legislative changes. Today, the RCMP spokesperson, Marie-Yves Breton, sent a written statement to Vancouver Sun, saying work is in progress to confirm the extent of required assistance of RCMP. Working under the SPS as POJ. Thank you for listening to episode 13 of the Steve Chong Show, part of Open Mic, on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North. If I could have time, I'd like to play a song. Sorry for massive technical difficulties today once again. Just a minute, please. We have about let's just see if I could play a song here. Once again, today is a really rough day. I'm not sure if there will be a song at this time. There will be hopefully an ID to get to 4 o'clock.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.